You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Last night was something. I was actually standing by to report on the David case, the Celeste Rivas David case. And of course, the breaking news came in. And the next 3 hours, I think I got off at right around midnight. Yeah, it was about 2.5, 3 hours covered the story. And I tell you what, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, last night there was a special dinner, and it was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And essentially, President Trump has chosen not to go to this dinner in the past because, as we all know, there is a bit of an acrimonious relationship between President Trump and the press. That's, you know, been clear for years. But he went last night and was seated at the head table. And that is when gunfire erupted. And I'm going to play you the exact tape of that situation. Take a look. Sorry, I want to make sure I get the right one. Get this one. Can you add this to the stage? Apologies. Here we go. This is the scene when the gunfire erupted. Now, I need to make a couple of things clear. I need to talk about exactly what happened in this instance. So essentially, this is at the Hilton Hotel. Many of you have probably been to it if you've ever been to DC. It's a huge hotel, and these ballrooms are located downstairs. So there's the main level, and then there is, I believe it's called the concourse level. And then below that is the level where these ballrooms are at. So it's actually two floors below the ballroom level. What the Secret Service did when they set up their perimeter was they set up magnetometers that were located on the main level, the lobby level. And then you would have to go downstairs, and then you would have to go down one more time to actually be in this ballroom area. Where this shooting occurred was at the lobby level. So to be clear, there was magnetometer set up. There were uniform Secret Service. So some people may not know this, but there's two divisions of the Secret Service. There's the uniform division and the agent division. Agents handle some crimes, actually, it's very few, but they do handle some credit card fraud, and they also handle counterfeit money. Obviously, that's becoming less and less. But their primary duty is protection of past presidents, vice presidents, future presidents, other dignitaries and cabinet members. Now, I will tell you, and some people don't know this, but other people are protected actually within their organization. For instance, Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, he has what we call the personal protective detail, totally separate from Secret Service. The personal protective detail, actually, I was the first woman to serve on it toward the very end of my career. And it was one of the biggest honors I've ever had. It really was. To be on that detail, one, you had to be not only SWAT certified, but you had to be certified and a member of a team. So I was a member of the Houston team for about 5 years, the Dallas team for about 5 years. In other words, when we transferred, then moved to the San Juan division and that division for 5 years. With each one, you have to retry out. I don't know what I was thinking, especially in the latter one. And even in the Dallas one, I just had a baby when I tried out. But nevertheless, tried out and again was, you know, the only woman on those teams. There's no DEI. There's no anything. It's just you try out. This is the set of standards. Here's your shooting standard. Here's your physical fitness standards. And for each of those tryouts, they lasted 3 days. This wasn't just, you know, come try out, say goodbye. You tried out, you spent the night in the San Juan tryout, which was a very difficult tryout. That was at Rosie Roads, which was a old naval yard in San Juan, Puerto Rico. The other two, the one in Houston, was at various, at the police academy and in various places. That was by far the hardest. It was the hardest tryout. And then the Dallas tryout was also very hard. The person in charge of that tryout was a guy named Sean Joyce, who ended up being number two under Louis Free for many years and was a hostage rescue guy. And was a really, really vigorous tryout. I only say this to say that this is part of what you have to be on a director's detail. You also have to be a firearms instructor and what we call a LETS instructor. That's law enforcement training for street survival. That's where you actually go out and train other SWAT teams, other departments all around the world to how to do arrests, search warrants safely for all parties involved, de-escalation techniques, the whole nine yards. So if you had those three under your belt, then you could try out or apply, I should say, to be on the director's protective detail. Again, I was honored to be on that detail. And it was, you know, you do advance work, meaning you go before anything ever happens, and you do what we call the site surveys, and you prepare a plan. That's part of it. That's the advance. You can also be on the actual team that's there responsible for the protection. And so there's various components, and you serve on them all. It's not like you just do one or the other when you're on the team. You do a variety. So anyway, that is all to say that there was a plan that went into place before this protection detail was put together. You work closely with all the locals, with obviously the Washington, with the Park Police, with their Metropolitan Police Department. You work obviously locally with the FBI office. You're looking for intelligence, anything along that lines. You work with the Secret Service. You work with all these different components because, of course, in this case, Kash Patel was there. So Kash Patel's FBI protective detail was there in conjunction with Secret Service. They're all working together to provide protection. But who is in charge of all of these details, if the president is there, is the Secret Service, period, end of story. The Bureau doesn't trump that. It's the Secret Service. Now, this also was the case in, I don't know what's going on where I put things up and something else comes in. So let me remove that. Let me put this up. That was the case also in Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania, where President Trump was struck by a bullet in the ear, just grazed him, literally a milliliter or a millimeter and or a millisecond, depending on what he did. He just turned, he'd be dead. I mean, his brains and he would have been completely blown up with that particular round, that rifled round that was shot at him. Secret Service, this was one of the biggest failures ever. Then after this, near Mar-a-Lago, which is his golf course area, he was golfing, or the person thought he'd be golfing. He was out there, he meaning an assassin, set up on this fence line, still shocking to me, set up all of this there. Crooks who did this assassination attempt was killed within about 4 seconds by a counter sniper. But the individual that was set up to kill President Trump again at Mar-a-Lago, he was arrested. He was recently convicted. He defended himself. Again, that's Secret Service. Secret Service was again successful in thwarting the attempt, but I would still say that the protection of Trump was not good. It just wasn't good. All right. Now, here we have this again. I'm going to show it one more time so you all can see it in case you're coming in late. I'm going to add this to the stage. Again, this is the moment that the shots are heard and what the head table experienced. You see J.D. Vance, you see Trump, you see Melania. So take a look. I want to stop this really quick right here. I want to go back to here. A lot of people are saying, oh my gosh, why was J.D. Vance whisked off? Well, one reason he was this whisked off so easy is because Secret Service was right by J.D. Vance at the time of this. And they got him off that stage post haste. He was also closest to the curtained area. You can see it on the opposite side. So it wasn't like they chose that. It was that Secret Service was there. They know their responsibility as J.D. Vance, that particular part of the Secret Service, that was their responsibility. This is all determined well in advance when you have multiple dignitaries. Who are you responsible for? This guy, he's responsible for J.D. Vance should something happen. And he was standing right there. The curtains are right there. He gets him off swiftly. Okay, take. Okay. They go off, they get him off, and they know their responsibility is J.D. Vance. And so it continues to be J.D. Vance. So, they're not going to come running back up and do other. That is their responsibility, is J.D. Vance. Okay? Let's move on now. I want you to notice at the time, so J.D. Vance is already up. I want you to notice in front of the table, in front of Trump, does everybody see this? I wish I knew, or if there's a way to make a pointer here. I don't think you guys can see my cursor. But if you look to the left, right in front of that table, right in front of Trump, you will see a man that jumped up there within a second. Let's see if we can see him jump up there. He's up. He jumps there. So Vance is already being taken out, and this guy is already. See him popped into frame? I'll show you one more time. Look at the front of the far left of the table in front of Trump, okay? Right? So he is already providing, he's Secret Service, he's providing a human shield right there. So you're going to have to shoot through him to get to Trump, and then you can see the other Secret Service folks that are responsible for Trump. Okay, let's continue. All right. Okay, you see them continue, he's down. You see these folks continuing to kind of sort through things. You see, this woman, other people. Remember, just because you're responsible for protecting Trump and Vance, you're not responsible necessarily for protect these, the other dignitaries and or wives and or individuals who were also up at that table. They are a secondary concern. Your concern is protecting the leaders of the country. That's what Secret Service does. That's who their protectees are. It's all written in an advanced plan, and they know what they're supposed to do in this type of a situation. They not only know, but they practice it. So before you ever go out on something like this, you literally are practicing it. You're setting up and you're practicing. And you're doing briefs and brief backs. Okay, Jennifer, if somebody shoots, what are you doing? I am putting my hands on the back of J.D. Vance, and I am escorting him down and out. And then the next person does their brief back. So everyone knows what they're doing. Okay, this was his job, to stand in front of Trump. He is supposed to only be facing forward. Something that was absolutely a train wreck during Pennsylvania was everybody's what we call AOR, their area of operation or area of responsibility, where they're supposed to be looking and facing. If that front post guy is looking backwards, how can he be focused on the threats that are coming in front of him? Because I can tell you, these guys in the back, their areas of responsibility aren't in the front. Theirs are on the sides or in the back or whatever the op plan called for. So that's why you see everybody with their own specific duties that they have at this point. Okay. Looks like the exact same Secret Service guy that was with Trump at Pennsylvania. One of the guys that was there, at least I think I recognize him. Okay, moving on. All right, this is the counter assault team. They're completely different from really the dignitary, protective side of this mission, right? So you have people that are in charge of basically putting an umbrella, a physical barrier shield around your protectee. And then you have other people, they're not supposed to do that. They should run past by the protectees. They can't stop and help this woman. They can't say anything to the guy at the table. All they are responsible for is counter assault, meaning as individuals, if individuals are seen entering this room armed, they're shooting. These are crack shots. The best of the best in terms of their marksmanship, being able to handle. In this case, it looks like they have M4 rifles. They are the best of the best at having or being able to handle these semi-automatic and maybe even automatic. When I was on the SWAT team, the advanced SWAT team, and let me see, in Dallas and in San Juan, I'm not sure. I just don't remember. I should remember that. But in Houston, we had a fully automatic selector switches. So we could, what does that mean? That means when you depress the trigger one time, your gun reels off bullets. You don't have to, it's semi-automatic, means one shot per trigger squeeze. So it's much longer time frame to be able to affect multiple bullets to be shot when you have single action, but it's much more in control. So nevertheless, when you look at this situation, that's what that team is. They're part of the Secret Service, meaning they're all working together, but this is absolutely the counter assault team. Okay. By the way, and I have to say this because I saw this pop up. This was not staged. What happened at Mar-a-Lago, and I should have put these pictures in, with the guy, he got convicted. He's at the fence line. He has it all set up. It's just so amazing. Nobody saw this guy. I mean, he's like got his gun there. He's got some stuff off to the side. I should have pulled these pictures, but I can only have 10 up, and I tried to grab what I think is the most important. Anyway, this was not staged, everybody. Pennsylvania wasn't staged. Someone died. In this one, a Secret Service civil service officer was shot. A civil service uniformed officer was shot. His vest saved him. But even when you get shot, and I don't know whether he was shot with a handgun, if he was shot with a shotgun, I mean, it certainly couldn't have been like a 3/4 inch rifle slug that we shot. He must have been shot with either a buckshot or a grazed wound, because bulletproof vest absolutely will not stop a shotgun round. Neither will walls, neither will doors. That guy was armed to bear, short range situation, short range fighting. If I'm going to fight short range, I personally, I know some people do. I loved having when we had our MP5s, which were our little sub guns. Those are best for what we call close combat tactics. But when it comes to, for instance, in my house, I have a loaded shotgun ready to roll. That's what I'm going to protect myself with at close range. It's almost impossible to miss. And it will absolutely kill somebody with one shot. All I need is one shot with my rifled slug, and they've got a hole in them. You could drive a truck through, not literally, but metaphorically, they're dead. And so him going with a shotgun was very serious. So for all the lunatics out there, and you could call me whatever you want, I am definitely in spicy gen mode today, that think that this was staged, that what happened at Mar-a-Lago was fake, that what happened last night was staged. It's not staged, people. No, guess what? The Holocaust wasn't staged. 9/11 wasn't staged. This is real. And you could listen to these reporters. Listen to these reporters. It's I'm going to be on tonight, News Nation. Hopefully you guys can tune in. It's at 5:30 Eastern time with one of the reporters that was there that wrote a beautiful piece. And I'm not going to spoil it, but beautiful piece about, you know, being there and experiencing everything and then absolutely breaking down once she really has a chance to think, oh my God, I was in this room. If this guy gets through, shoots through walls, straight bullets, I could have been dead.
You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
So if you're on any YouTube channel, if you're on any, you know, social media, and some crackpot says this was staged, just block them. That's my advice to you, because they have nothing fruitful to give to you that has anything worthwhile for you. Zero. For me, for you, for anybody. So again, you got spicy gin today. Let's bring this back up to the stage. We're going to continue. Where? Right there. Where? People, it is always, even though you can see, I think the Secret Service is very much in control, very much trying to get control of the scene. It's confusion. It's they hear the gunshots, as you heard President Trump actually say afterwards. He thought it sounded like somebody dropping trays, you know, like clink, clink. Unless you shoot guns all the time, unless you have spent your decades of your life shooting guns, or now you currently shoot guns all the time, you know, the sound of gunfire can be confusing, because it's not only there's a lot of different things, different sounds from different guns. A shotgun blast is so much different than a MP5, which is subgun, different from a rifle, different from a handgun. 45 is different from a 9, different from a 38, different from a 40. They all have a different ring and different sound. So in this case, you know, to me, they asked me last night if I could tell. I thought it was handgun rounds, but could it have been a shotgun round? I personally didn't hear a shotgun round, but again, where the sound was being recorded was so far away, really, from where all this is happening. Let's continue to watch. And a lot of people asked me, and they even asked me this last night, and this is the clearest film I've been able to find. The one we had last night was horrible. It was so bad, I could barely see. I have on my glasses. By the way, my glasses broke again. I have a lot of pairs of glasses, but the one I have on my desk here is broken, so sorry. Anyway, they were asking, did he fall down? You know, I can't quite, he's such a big man. He's sitting in these little chairs. They're trying to keep a low profile on him. They're trying to go over him. I think Melania is under the table. I think he was concerned about Melania and wanted to stop and grab Melania. Does he stumble in the meantime because they're pushing him down? They're trying to be taller than a guy that none of them are taller than because he's so tall. You know, the bottom line is he in this moment seems to, if you watch this, I'll try to bring it back. He seems to see, okay, there he is. You see him. He's turning. I know a lot of people are like, no, he's trying to find Melania. She's under the table. Look, Secret Service, you could see this huge contingent around him. They're not letting him go check on Melania. That's not what they're going to do. There's somebody else in charge of Melania, and it's not these guys. These guys, their sole mission is to get him up and out. And I think it was so swift. He's so tall. They're trying to keep him so low. It's brutal. It really is. You have, look at the size of these guys. You have these guys pushing, pressing, pulling on you. I think he stumbles, but they get him out. So that's what we're seeing here. Let's. His job, and he well knows it, they are supposed to go again. The person they're protecting is Trump. They're not protecting anyone else. There is somebody that's on Melania that's responsible for Melania, but that's not what we're seeing here. We are seeing this counter-assault unit. We are seeing this particular team that's specifically assigned for Trump. And it doesn't end because he leaves the stage. I just thought that was very sort of important to explain here. I want to go on to what happened. Okay. What this radical did. Okay. So this is Trump. Okay, I need to start that over. It goes too fast. It's only 16 seconds. You ready? I'm going to start from the beginning. Look to your far left. Look to your far left. I know this isn't the best footage, but this was the first that came out. Look at this footage. Okay, you see him? He's running through that magnetometer right now. That whole time he is running, from the moment he rounds the corner, he is shooting. Because if you look against the wall area, he shoots a uniformed Secret Service person, and another, I believe, uniformed Secret Services comes and drags him away, which is exactly what they are supposed to do. So I'm going to keep going. Okay. I want to say this right away. For anybody who follows me, for anyone who is in true crime, in my opinion, and I always say this, true crime should be bipartisan, meaning I'm not Democratic. You don't have to be Democratic. You don't have to be Republican. You can be anything you want on the political realm. I've always said I am very conservative in some respects. I'm more liberal in other respects. I'm very libertarian in other respects. You know, I am as apolitical of a person that you can find when it comes to analyzing crime. Crime stands on its own. I don't care whether this is Obama. I don't care whether this is Trump. I don't care whether this is Clinton. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is our presidential office is being attacked with these sorts of assassination attempts. That's what matters to me. The crux of our entire ability to be free. When we can't even protect our leaders, there is a problem. And believe me, my hat goes off to the Secret Service. All you have to do is watch this and listen to the reporters. And that's what was great. I've seen numbers up to 2,000. I could tell you at News Nation, my understanding is Chris Cuomo was there, Vargas was there. Katie Pavlich was there. Allie Bradley was amazing. She was on the whole time with Natasha Zouvez. I tell you, I just have to brag a little bit on Natasha Zouvez. I don't know how many of you watch her. She is on from approximately, I believe it is 7 to 11 on, might even be up to midnight on Saturday and Sundays. I'm on with her again tonight. She's the best at, I don't know how she did it. She just jumps right in. She keeps the conversation going. This was very traumatic. Her friends were there. You know, the reporters for News Nation who were there, one almost broke down. One cussed. Well, I don't want to say almost broke down, was emotional in their voice. One, you know, dropped a bomb. Not that we could hear, she kind of coughed herself up. What did you say in that moment was the question. And she said, I said, she was talking to the Speaker of the House, as I recall. Nevertheless, these are emotional moments. And I'm so glad the press was there, because the press can't say this is fake. Anyone who was there, of these 2,000 press people, mostly press people, there's nothing fake, nothing staged, nothing. And this isn't about loving Trump or hating Trump. This is neutral to Trump. This is about the office of the presidency. And it is absolutely stirring. And I hope it's stirring for each one of you, that no matter who you wish were in office, or if you back President Trump, either way, this is galling that this is the third attempted presidential assassination in the past couple of years. It's just galling. And personally, I think just from watching and seeing the vitriol and the hate, I mean, I have a lot of hate on my Twitter for him. I have a lot of hate on my YouTube for him. Listen, I respect all people and I get it. Believe me, I get you. I understand. I am not an ostrich. I understand the issues. I understand the issues with everyone who has been president. I understand. And I understand why people have strong feelings about it. But to me, what I'm trying to bring forward here is about our presidency. But I tell you, I think it'll be a miracle if Trump isn't assassinated. It just will be. He is literally like a Lincoln. Now, I know many of you are not going to like that I say that. If you don't like Trump, you're going to say, oh, my gosh, how can you compare him to President Lincoln? Well, I am telling you, President Lincoln was hated as much as President Trump. So I'm not talking about politics here. I am talking about vitriolic hatred for different reasons, but nevertheless, absolutely hated, absolutely hated. And that's what you have here. So again, let's run through what happened. And I refuse to be drug into anything political. I'm going to talk about the crime here. So he comes through. Now remember, Cole Allen is his name. Remember Cole Allen, he's a teacher, he's no dummy. He stayed at the hotel. We don't know how long yet, but he stayed at the hotel. He had a room there. He planned this very well. So he comes down the corridor, right? Because to me, the big mistake they don't do is you have got to, and I hope they do this for the next one because he's having another one in a month. What you've got to do, in my opinion, is you have to make it a funnel. You have to literally blockade off all entrance points that lead toward the escalator that goes down another level to this ballroom. You have to block it all off and you have one entry point, and that point is outside. We could see it right here. You see those doors? You block everything off. And you have your magnetometers, just like at the Super Bowl, just like at, you know, big basketball games, just like at the World Series. You're outside when you go through the magnetometers. You're not inside where bullets permeate walls, drywall, and doors. You're not inside where all these people are gathered. It's bad enough that outside many people could be shot. Yes, but you're a much further distance away and you've got more of a hardened entrance point because you have doors. You're outside of the venue. That's what I would do. That's what I think they need to change. Did they do so much more right? Yes, they did. Look, these agents, officers working this detail, sacrifice potentially their life. You think this guy stopped shooting because they all jumped on top of him? By the way, they missed him. I mean, I know they clearly shot at him because they said they shot at him. You can see him poised and shooting in this video. They missed him because it's really hard to shoot a moving target. Why? You're moving, right? You're getting down, taking cover, taking a knee, trying to get a good sight. They're running by in a, you know, like a cheetah. And it's very difficult. Plus, you're trying not to hear anything in what we call the backstop, you know, anything behind them. So you're trained. If you see something behind them, and depending on how good your shot is, you should never shoot. And I would argue that unless, and I don't know the skill level of these particular agents because everybody's different. You have those agents that come out and they shoot hundreds all day long. They can't miss. And then you have those agents that are barely qualifying every single time and are trying over and over and over again. But they made it through the academy, right? You have two times to make it through you have the halfway point and then you have at the end, you have to make it. We had a girl in our class. She was an agent. There were four of us that were females in our class. The best physical fitness score ever. We had 100. We had a 98. We had a 96. And we had, I think, a 92. Our physical fitness of our females was over the top, ridiculous. So the girls in our class, nobody was DEI. We didn't even have what they called DEI back then. That's how old I am. But nevertheless, these girls, there was one girl who was an absolutely horrific shot and her father was a captain at the New York NYPD. Once we were allowed to leave, because you're not allowed to leave Quantico for, I think it was 5 to 6 weeks. The minute we were able to leave Quantico overnight for the first time, not overnight, but well, I guess we were allowed to leave overnight. Nobody left overnight. Nobody had any place to go for the most part. But she flew home. That's how much it was important to her. She flew home every night that she was on leave. So Friday, Saturday night, come back Sunday. And she would practice. Her captain, you know, her father would get her on the range and got her with the NYPD shooting instructor. And that's what she did to finally make it through. And she qualified just barely. And we all were rooting for her, right? We wanted her because she was committed. And so what I'm saying is don't be surprised that all these agents missed. It's difficult. There's more to consider than, you know, there's a lot to consider. And you're going to see this in the after action report. Some people shot, some people didn't. Well, why didn't everybody shoot? Because you don't know what's on their backstop. You don't know what their sight picture was. Was their sight picture up for 1 second? Because they went, whoa, got their gun and the guy was already gone. Anyway, let's watch Cheetah again come through here. Actually, I don't even want to give him any credit at all. The domestic. I'm in the corner. Now he's running through the magnet. Everybody realizes, oh my God, it takes a second. He's good. And there's very good analysis about this. But essentially, just like picture yourself driving. If you're driving and you see the stoplights change and so on, you can't know exactly what you're right. You make a decision. It changes. You're at yellow and then it goes to red. Are you going to blast through or are you going to slam on your brakes? What are you going to do? Right. It takes a second for your mind to process any major thing and then to impose a reaction to it. So analyze, okay, hear shots, see running, analyze what's happening. Where's it coming from? Pull my gun, make those decisions. It takes time. It takes time. Yes, Marilee, I love this. Cheaters are cute. This individual is not cute. So anyway, I'll show it to you one more time. It's 16 seconds long. If you haven't seen it, here we go.
Was that Hudson? He monitored it was there.
You see, back against the wall. That's the guy shooting. Right. All right. So anyway, that's the guy. That's how quickly this can happen. That's why, in my opinion, they need to have this hard structure, meaning the walls and the doors, everything shut down, one single file line to get through, the magnetometer outside, and everything from the lobby area closed down, making it a funnel to go to the escalators and to get down to these, the second, you have to go down one level and then one more level to get to the ballrooms. This happened on the first level. I don't want anybody to go away from this thinking that this, that there was a wall that separated this incident and then the president, the ballroom where everybody was at. I just want to make that clear. So actually this was up above that, but that is how easily the sound travels. When you are on a shooting range, you have to have ear protection because it's so loud. It's so loud. So it's important to understand that this is loud. I want to talk a little bit about the last time something like this happened. Does anybody know? 1975, Gerald Ford. This isn't the first time for everybody. That's another thing I keep saying. Oh, it's all Trump's fault. It's all Trump's fault. Listen, I'm not a Trump apologist. I'm a realist. And this isn't the first time. This happened with Gerald Ford. Why did people hate Gerald Ford so bad? Anybody know? I'm going to look and see if anybody comments. The reason people hated Gerald Ford were two reasons. One, he gave a presidential pardon to Nixon, despite all of Nixon's grotesque behavior. People hated him for that. They hated Ford for that. I think it was wrong what he did. But nevertheless, I'm not going to get political. I don't know if that's political or if it's not. I just don't think, I don't care what Nixon did as far as what he did prior to becoming the president, what he did concerning Watergate and everything else, But that's just my opinion. That's just an opinion. I don't care, again, whether you're Democratic, Libertarian, Independent, Republican, you don't deserve to be pardoned when you do something like that. But nevertheless, Ford was hated for that. He was also seen to be kind of not that great when it came to environmental issues. So who tried to kill him? Well, Lynette Squeaky Fromm, one of Charles Manson's most devoted loyalists to this day. Actually, I think she just died in 2025. So sorry. Let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure she just died in 2025. Let me see. Let me double check. When did Squeaky Fromm die? I'm pretty sure she just died. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay. She didn't die. I'm thinking about the next person I'm going to talk about. Okay. Apologies. Apparently she's still alive. Actually, let me just make sure. Yeah, I guess she's alive. Nevertheless, I was reading about after she served her long prison term. And remember, she served a prison term and then she also had her term extended because she tried to get out of prison. Nevertheless, what my point is that she's like Charles Manson. She still likes him. She gives interviews to this day. That's why I wasn't sure if she had recently died, but she is still giving interviews. Check him out. She says she loves Charles Manson, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I know it's, I'm not trying to call people's name. I'm just trying to say there are wackadoodles in this world. There are wackadoodles that live in a different set of morality than the rest of us. And I'll call those wackadoodles. She's a wackadoodle. And she wanted to do something for Charles Manson. That was part of the reason. And then secondarily, she had issues, I guess, with her environmental stuff. This is the other person who tried to kill Gerald Ford. And she actually was supposedly started, you know, thought she could start this upheaval and everything if she took him out. Again, a lot of people were very angry at him for pardoning Nixon. I just wanted to bring out the point that this isn't new. Garfield, obviously we know Kennedy, many others, sadly Lincoln, probably my most favorite president of all times. Nevertheless, we are at a political time in our history where so many people hate Trump, and he's going to continue to be targeted. That's just the way it is. And Secret Service is getting better and better. No one was hurt here except for, you know, an officer was hurt. A Secret Service officer, you know, that branch, the uniform branch, somebody was hurt. He's going to live. But nevertheless, I just wanted to bring out that. I want to show you this guy's picture. This was him right after. I had a lot of questions last night from Natasha Zubez. You know, why is it, did he come in without a shirt? What happened? And I said at the time, no, this was before we had the film. We had this picture that was taken by, hats off to, I don't know if it was Luis or what cameraman it was, but a cameraman for News Nation caught this, which was a pretty good picture. And another picture too. I believe this was the News Nation. I know the other picture I had. Oh, this is the one that was News Nation. Sorry. I don't know 100% on the other one. I know 100% this was the News Nation camera job. So they did a good job. And right when I saw it, she said, well, what do you think happened here? And I said, well, he didn't come in like this. They tore this shirt off of him. You can see, you can call it an emergency blanket. I called it a shock blanket. This is what we call a tactical medic right here. He's got his blue gloves on. He's working on him. Why? Because these guys took him down, everyone. This was not a gentle takedown. They probably didn't know whether he had been shot, hadn't been shot. It's a conglomeration of all these Secret Service guys bringing him down to the ground and getting cuffs on him. And that would have been a very violent, quick situation. And so they had to evaluate him, because that's what we in law enforcement do. We shoot somebody and then we try to save their lives. And so they took him down, they cuffed him, and then they tried to evaluate, does he have any medical injuries from being taken down? So this is a tactical medic. I was a tactical medic. The first thing you have to do is you have to get that clothing off. You have to evaluate, was he shot in the chest? Was he did he knife himself? We know that he came with a shotgun. We know he had two handguns. I don't know if both were on him. We know he purchased two handguns, and we know he had knives on him. So you have to evaluate at that point, what is the situation with that? That was that situation. So that's why he doesn't have a shirt on. They took it off of him. That was medically necessary to determine if he was hurt. Who is our shooter? Cole Allen. He's from Terrence, California. Yes, this isn't fake. He taught apparently SAT and ACT, kind of those prep courses, but he was a teacher nevertheless. And this was one of his accolades. I also found where he actually created this thing for wheelchairs to help them stop without stopping to the ground, something along those lines. So I thought that was very interesting. This was a smart guy. His manifesto. The manifesto has been publicly spoken about. I did a tweet on it. Let me give you the highlights. Number one, absolutely hated Trump, hated the administration. His motive was to kill Trump and or the administration. Number two, it was released. He released his manifesto before he did the attack to his family. His family apparently tried to contact law enforcement. Again, I don't know how seriously it was taken, because I'm sure there are where so many clues and intel that is coming in whenever you have an event like this. I could tell you firsthand, you're trying to parse out everything. So nevertheless, he also talks about how he hated Christians. He also trained for this. This wasn't just a guy coming in, getting a room, and then seeing how it was going to go. He actually trained for this situation. And we know he bought two firearms and a shotgun, as I mentioned. He had in the past attended the No Kings rallies. That makes total sense. That makes total sense to me, because you would want to do that when, if you hate Trump. Makes sense you would be at those rallies. Again, I'll just say this. He wasn't crazy. He was a radical. He hated Trump. He talks about how he, you know, it's just sick for him. And I read this all the time, and I understand where people are coming from. I understand what their point is. He essentially said, you know, I can't have anybody in here with what he believes his past is and running our country. It just grossed him out, and that he felt that he would be complicit if he didn't try to kill him, I guess. So that's his point of view. That's why he did this. He's a radical. I don't care how much you hate somebody in this country. You can hate him and you can talk about him, but guess what? You can't go in and try to kill him. And by the way, he could have given a rat's butt about who else he killed. Likely he knew he was never, ever going to get to Trump. He was never going to make it through that. He just went in there wildly shooting and had no problem with taking out whoever was in that lobby area. He didn't care about anything. All he cared about himself. And I want to talk about two more things, then we're going to go. Number one, people like this are failures in life. They fail at what they think they should have accomplished. And this is their way to be infamous, to be seen, to be what they consider a martyr. I think he 100% thought he would be shot that day. I mean, look at this contingent. I'll show it again while I jabber. Look at this contingent, everyone. He didn't think he was coming out of this alive. I don't know. All these people, he's shooting. They're shooting. They just didn't hit. Because I firmly believe his wish, and he talks about it, actually. You know, he apologizes. He says he's probably going to be in a lot of trouble, you know, in his manifesto. So it's unclear whether he for sure knew he was going to die. He didn't care if he died. That's my position. That's generally the position with all these guys, that they essentially are narcissists who want the world to revolve around them. And when they can't make it big, when they can't be president, when they can't be the one that's famous, guess what? Then they'll be infamous and make a name for themselves. And that's really sad. I want to talk really quickly about a post I made. It was probably one of the most misunderstood posts I've ever made. I was on air, we had a break, and so I posted this. Erica Kirk, Erica Kirk's husband, Charlie Kirk, was assassinated with a gun at a public event in Utah. Look, you can think what you want about Erica Kirk, but I am telling you, when she left that event, she was absolutely traumatized. So whether you like her, you don't like her, she, in my opinion, was completely traumatized. And I did a post that says something to a degree. She just, what I put, you, she couldn't take it, or too much to take, too much to take. Meaning it's too much to take to have your husband like this, killed, struck in the neck, dead. No, all of a sudden now you don't have a husband. All of a sudden, you don't have a father for your kids. Nothing. And it was traumatic. And I think it was traumatic for her. People can disagree with me. People can agree with me. That was my take on it. All right, everyone. That's it. I just mainly wanted to explain. There's been so many questions. How could this happen again? What is happening with this? You know, how? How can from Pennsylvania to Mar-a-Lago and now this? Secret Service is getting better and better and better, and they just need to keep tightening it up, because it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or whether it's the next seated president. We cannot have our presidents fired at. We can't have, in this modern day and age, this isn't Booth Theater. Or this isn't Ford's Theater, John Wilkes Booth. This isn't Lincoln sitting up in the balcony. We have cameras. We have sophisticated drones. We have weight magnetometers. We have all these things. This should never happen to a seated president. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican. It just cannot happen. They're going to have to tighten up. They need to make a funnel. They need. Let's watch. But I believe that the magnetometer will be outside next time. We'll see. We'll certainly know. All the press will be there. What press will go back? Some won't go back. I'll tell you, some people will be so traumatized by this. You could hear them last night. The main person broke down at the podium. I mean, I shouldn't say she broke down. Broke down means like Erica Kirk broke down. These people were breaking down, and I think later very much broke down because it was traumatic for them. Anytime the possibility of being shot is real, it can be traumatic. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I know on my platform, I have all aspects. I have people who love Trump, people who are Republicans but don't like Trump, and people who are Democrat and very liberal and hate Trump. I know I have the whole gamut, but we are here to discuss crime. I think we could all agree no president should be shot. That's my point for the day. And I wanted to educate everybody on what happened. I think they should get the ballroom. Again, to me, it's not political. You need a place that has this huge perimeter already set up, outside perimeter, inside perimeter. You don't pay any extra money. You don't put innocent civilian lives in jeopardy. You just have in there the presidential walls. You make the funnel. It's easy. They need to have a ballroom. I don't know about the elaborate nature. I know that it's, my understanding is it's not even paid for by taxpayers. He doesn't even get a salary. So it's not a money issue. I know there is some historical issues, but they need to have a place, not just for him. He's got 2 years left, everyone. He's not getting reelected. He's got 2 years left. Whoever ends up needing being our next president, every president shouldn't have to worry about this. That's my message. All right, everyone. You've been fabulous. Thank you so much for being here. I want to thank each of you. And until next time, may justice be served.